chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read it for us this morning, chapter 5. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things which are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet had hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We're thankful for the word of God that we can read. We're thankful for the grace of God, Lord, to fathom that, Lord, to understand a little of that, the grace of God whereby we are saved, the marvelous, infinite, matchless grace of our loving Lord. And so we praise you and we rejoice in you this morning, Lord, and we pray as we look into your word together now, Lord, that you would quicken us and we would receive that which you would have for each one of us this morning. And Lord, we would not just be hearers, but we would be doers of thy word, Lord, so that your will would be accomplished and you would be glorified in our lives. And we give you thanks now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, and right there, and almost in the middle, is verse 18. Before I read that, I want to read verse 17 again. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. All right? We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And there are many things that the will of God incorporates for us, but in this particular passage here, Paul speaks of one thing in verse 18, which leads on to what follows, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice that that is a command. Being filled with the Spirit is not an experience. All right, there are those who would suggest that you need to have a certain experience, then you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. No. To be filled with the Spirit of God is a step of obedience, not an experience, because it's a command. And so I don't have to wait for an experience. I don't have to wait for some warm, fuzzy feeling or anything else. I need to be obedient to what God says in His Word. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to deal. I could spend a long time on the very first part of that verse, be not drunk with wine, and deal with that whole issue. That's not my aim this morning to deal with that, other than to say categorically that for a Christian to drink alcohol, it's a sin. Amen? But not be drunk where there is excess. In other words, the idea of someone who's drunk, they are under the control of the alcohol. We were talking about it briefly this morning in our class. What alcohol does, it doesn't stimulate, it actually depresses. People think their drinking will stimulate them. What it does, it depresses the higher faculties of right and wrong, and it sets free the baser desires and lusts of the flesh. And so rather than stimulating, it depresses that which is good, and it sets free that which is bad. No Christian ought to drink alcohol. Where's excess? But people who get drunk, they are under the control of that. They do and say and think things that they would not do or say or think when they're sober. Why? Because they've become under the control of the alcohol. Now God says, in contrast, like, don't be drunk, don't be under the control of alcohol. He's trying to highlight something here. Because everybody who's ever seen a drunk person knows they are out of control of their own control. And they've now surrendered their control of their life to this thing we call alcohol. God says, by way of contrast, we are to be filled with the Spirit, or under the control of the Holy Spirit. And it's a command. Again, I repeat that. It is a command. It is not an option that God is giving us. It's not an experience that we need to have. It's a step of obedience that we need to take. Because if we don't take that step of obedience, then what follows after that, in fact, what came before that, will be impossible for us to carry out. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You will not be able to do that if you are not filled with the Spirit of God or controlled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm assuming this morning that you're saved. I'm assuming that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. But let me say this, if you're not saved, then a lot of what I'm going to say will be meaningless to you in one sense this morning. Because these things are spiritual matters, and they can only be spiritually discerned by those who are saved. So let me encourage you with that this morning. If you're not saved, then you need to get saved. You need to acknowledge that what we've sung about this morning, that we are sinners before a righteous and a holy God, but that God so loved the world, as Caleb read for us this morning in John chapter 3, that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is not just to believe about Him, but to put our faith and our trust and belief in the facts laid out in the Scriptures, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we rest our faith and trust in that fact biblical fact, believing what God says, and then God saves us. Now we're in a position to be obedient to this command, to be filled with the Spirit. Before that, we're not. We're not able to do that. It's only when we become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our Saviour that the Spirit of God indwells us. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. He lives within us. Now, this Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who lives within us, he is to control our lives. That's what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God can live within a believer and yet not have total control in the believer's life. Remember, this is a command. This is what we are to do in obedience, to allow the Spirit of God to have total and absolute veto in every area of our life, whatever that might be. Now, when we do that, when we totally surrender our lives and yield our rights to God and to the Spirit of God, he takes control, and then we find our life is transformed. For those who are Christians and who struggle in the Christian life, one of the reasons, if not the reason, why they struggle is because they have not surrendered their lives in a total, absolute way of consecration and said, Spirit of God, you control my life from now on. All my thoughts, all my ambitions, all my rights, I surrender to you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Spirit of God, I now yield to you. You have control. They've never done that. Never done it and meant it. Never. They thought that maybe they just need to have some feeling. They go forward at a meeting and maybe weep and cry a little and say, oh God, please forgive me. And that's good. We need to confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as believers. But we need to come to that place of surrender. I surrender myself, which is my reasonable service, present my body a living sacrifice. When I do that, I have now given the Spirit of God the authority to control my life in every area. And the wonderful thing, as I've been speaking to people over the last week or two, the wonderful thing about this is very practical. I don't have to wait for a feeling or an experience or anything else. It's very practical. You can tell whether a person is filled with the Spirit of God. You can tell whether a person is controlled by the Spirit of God by reading through this passage, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You have a look in Psalm 40 for a moment. I believe the psalm writer captures this thought very well in Psalm 40. David had been in a terrible place. He says in verse 1 of Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And notice this, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. When a person is filled with the Spirit of God, there is singing and singing. There is singing by a person who's singing in their own strength and ability, and there's a person who is singing who is filled with the Spirit of God. And there's a difference between the two. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. David said, I went through this terrible time in my life where I felt like I was in a horrible pit and I was in the miry clay. And God pulled me out of that horrible pit and that miry clay and placed my feet upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, rock of ages, cleft for me. And he placed my feet upon the rock, David said, and he did not only that, he established my goings. He began to guide and lead me and show me and teach me his ways. And he put a new song in my heart, even praise unto my God. You see, the Spirit of God puts a song in our heart. And when we sing Marvelous Grace and Infinite Grace, I don't know about you, but there are times I feel like jumping up and down and saying, yes, that's true. Yes, amen, the grace of God. Praise God for his grace. And You know, all that sort of thing. You say, you're a bit charismatic. Well, whatever. The joy of the Lord is to be our strength. And Peter said, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And there ought to be times when we can say, and if we may be too frightened to say amen out loud, we ought to be saying inside, amen, Lord, that's good glory, that's good. Oh, Lord, praise you and bless you. Because why? Because the new song in our heart, and many shall see it. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then he says in verse 20, this is practical, remember, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I hear believers who are not thankful, they're complaining about this and they're murmuring about that and they're not happy about this and they're not happy about that. You know, one thing I know about, if I know nothing else, I know they're not filled with the Spirit of God. I maybe don't know all about where their life's at, but I know one thing, they're not filled with the Spirit of God. Because Paul says here, part of being filled with the Spirit of God. Notice there's no pauses or full stops from verse 18 right down to you get to the end of verse 21. It's all one thought there. Being filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves, and then giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. Brother Brendan Davies is humanly speaking, a hideous situation. Motor neurons disease. There is no cure. And as he said, unless God intervenes and heals him, he is dead within the next year or two. And he's only got worse health to look forward to. Just a total deterioration over the next year or two unless God intervenes. But he's giving thanks to the Lord. He's thankful for all things. I'm sure if Brother Brandon were here today, he'd say, Brother Brandon, would you rather not have this disease? I'm sure he'd say, sure, I'd rather not have it in one sense. And why would I choose to have that? I've got a wife and two young children here. And, you know, I can see that there's a lot of things I'd like to do for the Lord. And I'd like to see my children grow up and see them get married and have grandchildren. I'd like to see all that for sure. But he's not complaining. He's not murmuring. He's thankful to the Lord. You say, is it good? He didn't say it was good. But he understands the principle that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And he's thankful. That's a sign of a person who's filled with the Spirit of God, who's controlled by the Spirit of God. He's not controlled by his circumstances. Too often we're controlled by our circumstances. Our relationships, or something happens, we're a bit short on money, or something happens, and we get all focused on that, and we're not thankful. We're controlled by circumstances, by people, by expectations, by all sorts of things, and we're not controlled by the Spirit of God, and so we're not thankful for all things. You show me a person who's thankful for all things, I'll show you a Spirit-filled person. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's a good test, isn't it? What about our relationships with others? What about our relationships? So often you see it, you know, me first. Oh, really? I'll pass these around after I've had one. No. Submitting to others. But there's only four on the plate and there's five of us. Will you be the person to say, I won't have one, thank you. Let the others. Submitting your rights and allowing others to have the peace. Yeah, but that means I miss out. Giving thanks for all things. Lord, I'm thankful there was enough for four. And I just happened to miss out, but that's okay. I'm thankful the rest got a peace. Amen? We go, nah. It's not fair. They got the biggest bit. Have a look at that. They've had two and I haven't had one yet. Oh, that's Spirit-filled, I don't think. Submitting ourselves one. That means I'm going to miss out on some things. You may miss out on some things, but you won't miss out on the Lord's blessing. Amen? You won't miss out on God's grace that we sing about. Submitting yourselves, one, very practical things, aren't they? Singing, making melody in our heart, giving thanks, submitting. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Wives, very easy to find out whether you're spirit-filled or not. How do you respond to your husband? How do you talk about your husband? What's the relationship there? And just so husbands don't get too carried away, it says, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And you know, sometimes husbands maybe think they're loving their wives as Christ loved the church, and they're not within a bull's roar of it. You ask their wives, they'll go, amen, that's right. Boy, he's hopeless at times. And most of them are too spiritual this morning to laugh and nod their head, but that's the reality of it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You know, there are little things that husbands can do that show that they are putting their wife first, they're giving themselves. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle. He goes on right down through there. For this cause, verse 31, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. If you ever want a verse on security of salvation, there's one for you. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, often we look at those things and we say, that's impossible. It is, if we're not filled with the Spirit of God. You mean I'm supposed to be totally selfless and totally other-centered? That's correct. Well, that's impossible. Yes, by your own strength. That's why he says be filled with the Spirit of God. Because what does the Spirit of God do in our life? Galatians tells us, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he produces his fruit. When we're yielded to the Spirit of God, God does something that we can't do. We can't produce love in its pure form. We can't produce joy in the real sense of joy, in a spiritual sense. We can't produce peace, can we? We can stop fighting people and we can stop arguing and we can kind of bring a certain peace. But we're talking about the peace of God that passes understanding. He alone can produce that. And so when we're yielded to the Spirit of God in some supernatural, amazing way, by the grace of God, he produces his fruit in our lives. And now I don't find it difficult to submit to others. Whereas before, I'm struggling with it. I'm gnashing, you know, I'm kind of, oh, I know I should, but oh, I don't know about it. You know, what about me? How come I can't have the biggest peace? Why can't I have first go? And all that kind of thing. That doesn't come natural. You know, we are selfish creatures, generally speaking. You know, the Bible never tells us, I know we've said this before, but the Bible never tells us or commands us to love ourselves. Why is that? Because we do that naturally. We love ourselves. We don't love others naturally as we ought to. And that's why the command to husbands, love your wives. You don't do it as you ought to, and you can't do it as you ought to outside the Spirit of God. We don't do those things naturally. But the Spirit of God produces that supernatural fruit of love and joy and peace and gentleness and temperance. And so it's no bother to me to be in submission. I don't have any rights. I've surrendered my rights to the Lord. The Spirit of God is in control. He'll guide, he'll lead, he'll direct, he'll have his will and way. And then he goes on in chapter 6, which I read, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We're looking at this during the week. And you know, the only way a child can really obey their parents is being filled with the Spirit of God. Or they can obey from time to time in their own strength and ability, or through fear of what dad or mum might do to them if they don't obey. But to be on a consistent level of obeying their parents in the Lord, they need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Even as a child, the child needs to come and say, Lord, I give my life to you. You have control. You take control, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. And I just know I need to obey my parents. And I just can't seem to get it. I try and I fail. And I just wish I could do it more, because I know it makes Dad and Mum happy when I'm obedient. And it makes me happy because they're happy and we just have a happy time. But Lord, I just can't seem to do it. And the Spirit of God says, let me control your life. Let me fill your life. And I'll give you that grace and you'll be able to do those things. And obey your parents and honour your father and mother, that it may be well. And then in verse 4 of that chapter, he says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And sometimes, as fathers, we struggle with that, because our children are getting angry and they're getting mad, and then we get mad with them because they're getting mad, and it just goes on. We say, this is impossible, Lord. I don't know what's going on. I got just such a bunch of rebellious kids. They won't do what they're told. And it may be that we've provoked them to wrath. Now, it's one thing for a child to be angry because they've been found out. It's another thing to be angry because we've been inconsistent. We haven't followed through on things, and we haven't done what we should have done. And so next time we come along, we jump on them, we hammer them, and we sort them out. And then we do that two or three times in a row. And then we let it slide for a while. And then we come and jump on them again. And in the end, they're frustrated and they're upset and they're getting angry because we're not being consistent. We're telling them, you know, you need to love the Lord Jesus, and you need to be saved, children, and you need to trust God and do all those things. And then what happens? Our own example lets us down, because we're not filled with the Spirit of God. And so we need to, as fathers and mothers, including this, of course, addressed particularly to fathers, but same for mothers, not to provoke the children to wrath. Be filled with the Spirit of God and you'll be able to do those things. And it won't be a hard thing. It won't be difficult. This is the thing that so often the devil comes along and says the Christian life's too hard and God wants too much and he expects too much and it's too difficult and you just get discouraged and give up. The Lord says, no, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Allow me to fill with my Spirit, and he'll produce that which you cannot produce. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. God will do that by his Spirit. Go back where we started. But be filled with the Spirit. It's not an experience. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Question to you and I this morning. Are we filled with the Spirit of God? Are we filled? Other people will know whether you are or not, because they'll be able to look at these things and see. Is there a song in their heart to the Lord? Are they thankful always for all things? Are they submitting? Do they prefer others? Do they promote others? If they're wives or husbands, if they're children, if they're fathers, if they're parents, it'll be obvious to others whether we're Spirit controlled. You say, well, I'm not sure whether I'm filled with the Spirit or not. Then my suggestion to you is that you're not. You can't be filled with the Spirit of God and not know it. Because to be filled with the Spirit of God, it requires me to make a commitment to the Lord. It requires me to say, Lord, I surrender all. I take my hands off every area of my life. Whatever plans or ambitions I might or might not have had, I surrender all of those to you. And Lord, I take my hands off every area and I stand before you and say, now you have control. You guide. You lead. You enable. You work out your will and way through my life. Now you can't do that and not know it. He said, I'm not sure that I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Remember, we're not talking experience. We're talking about, have you surrendered all to the Lord? Others will know. Others will know. And by the way, you'll know as well. He said, I'm not sure. Let me suggest that you deal with it this morning, saying, Lord, here I am. I yield myself to you. I allow you to have control over every area of my life. And I understand there could be a cost in one sense. Some things might have to go. Some things might have to change. I understand that. But I'm willing for that this morning. But maybe this morning, if you're not saved, then much of what I've said won't mean a lot to you, as I've already mentioned. If you're not saved, then let me encourage you this morning to make that deliberate decision. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe what the Bible says, that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he was buried and that he rose physically from the grave on the third day. And the best way I know how, I'd say, dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Please forgive me and save me this morning. Maybe that's your need this morning, to be saved. Maybe you are saved, but you need to come afresh this morning and say, Lord, I want you this morning afresh to fill me. Fill me, Spirit of God, so that you might produce your fruit and so that I can produce that which you've commanded me to produce. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that where you command, you also enable. Lord, you've commanded us to be filled, to be under the control, total, absolute control of the Spirit of God. Lord, you will give the grace for us to do that because you've commanded us to do that. And then, Lord, as we respond and yield to you, then, Lord, we enjoy the marvelous fruit of the Spirit and the outworking in our relationships and our walk with you, Lord, are richly blessed. And so we're thankful for that. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who's not saved or they're not sure of that, Lord, that enough has been said for them, Lord, that they can see their need, that they are indeed a Saviour, a need of a Saviour. They've heard John 3 read this morning, that you must be born again. They realise that that has never happened in their life. And to the best of their knowledge and the best way to know how, they would say this morning, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner, and make me one of your children. I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again the third day. Lord, there might be someone who needs to do that. Then God's people, Father, maybe someone this morning needs to say, I know you've touched a nerve there in a sense, that I'm not filled with the Spirit of God. But by God's grace this morning, I yield myself in obedience to the commandment to be filled with the Spirit. And I look to God now to work that out in my life and to produce his fruit, produce a life that would be pleasing and honouring to him. I've struggled, I've had difficulties, I've been discouraged, but I yield afresh this morning. And while our eyes are closed and heads bowed, I don't know where you're at with the Lord this morning. God alone knows your heart, but if you need to be saved, then I'd like to pray for you. You'd say, Pastor, just pray for me. You slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I want to be saved this morning. I want to trust the Lord Jesus, my own personal Saviour. Anybody at all, you just raise your hand. Yes, I see your hand, sir. May put your hand down. Yes, I see your hand. Anybody else that say, this morning, I want to be saved. I believe what the Bible says, that the Lord Jesus died on the cross in my place. And this morning, I'm saying, dear God, please save my soul, a sinner. Please make me one of your children. Anybody else? And then maybe God's people. Yeah, I see your hand. God's people would say, God's spoken to me this morning and I need to yield afresh to the Spirit of God, allow him to fill me, to control my life. Could you pray for me? Anybody at all? Just before we close out. Say, Pastor, pray for me. And Father, I do pray for those who have indicated, Lord, that they want to be saved. Lord, help them to see that I can't save them. Nobody else can save them. They can't even save themselves. It's only you can save them. And Lord, that you might help them to be able to trust you, to believe your word, that the Lord Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. He did it for them personally. And they might say something like this, that's your desire to be saved. Say, dear God, please forgive me. I do believe the Lord Jesus died in my place and was buried and rose again. I'm handing my life to you. I want you to forgive me. I want you to save me. I want you to make me one of your children. I pray this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.